I'm John Roscoe. I'm an Olympic gymnast. I'm from Bronx, New York, and I'm a fighter.
Waking up in the morning and to be well. Quite honest with you, I ain't really sleep well. You ever feel like your train of thought's been derailed? That's when you press on, lean in. Half the population just waiting to see me fail. Yeah, right, you better off trying to freeze hell. Some of us do it for the females, and others do it for the reef. But I do it for the kids, life through the tower in on. Every time you fall, it's only making your chin strong. And I'll be in your corner like Nick, baby, till the end of when you hear a song from that big lady. Until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gonna do, y'all? Loserville, nothing sound. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs, for you to recognize you really ain't got it bad. Until the referee rings the bell.
Good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock on the East Coast. It is 9 p.m. over there across the pond in the UK. That means it's time for another episode of All Things the Beautiful Game. It is time for Soccer Pundits. I am your host, Nikki. Along with me is the other host, Hugh. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Good evening.
And you're still breaking that.
I'll be back in a few seconds. To work.
There you go. That was nice and clear. All right. Well, Hugh is going to call back in. Try this again. See if he gets a better connection. So we'll get a little housekeeping out of the way while we wait for him to call back. Again, this is Soccer Pundits. We talk about all things the beautiful game. So we're going to talk about professional. We're going to talk about kids. We talk about everything. Matter of fact, I shared earlier with you a video of a ref getting blasted in the face with the ball. We're going to talk about refs. Everything involved with soccer, we talk about it here on Soccer Pundits. Some of it may not be a great amount of the time spent, but we do talk about everything. So we would love for everybody to join us live while we're here in the chat. You can be involved in the conversation, or you can always listen to us on the replay. But whatever you do, go out and make sure you get involved in the beautiful game.
Yeah.
So, Hugh, how are you this afternoon?
I am refreshed. I am nice and warm, nice and toasty, and I'm ready to go.
Is it chilly there?
Kind of. A wee bit of a nip in the air, but for the most part, but I have noticed it's getting darker really earlier now. I was wondering about in about 4 p.m.
Yes,
what?
Yeah, it's in the high 70s here.
What I was thinking earlier today, we always measure temperature by numbers. Can't we warm? Kind of warm. Too warm. Oh my god. Nice.
And for me, which would be about 60 degrees, perfect.
As long as there's no ice in my nose, I'm happy.
Okay, you were breaking up again. As long as there's no what?
Icicles hanging off my nose, I'm happy.
Yeah, I don't deal well with that kind of cold.
I don't mind the cold. I really don't.
And you are still breaking up about every third word.
That's just weird. The refreshing thing.
I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe you need to check your microphone setting.
I haven't really touched them. Huh. I've not run any other programs. It's the basic browser and the Skype on. Else, my router was. I reset my router earlier.
I don't know, but you still keep coming in and out a little bit, so.
Look for something.
Crap. How was your soccer week this week?
That was really good. I was happy at the results. I was surprised. Well, I started football games on my Xbox, and I've just been playing that. It's been good day, good week.
Yeah, the kiddo Rissa she started a team to manage a team in on, I think it was not FIFA 13, it was
Pro Evolution Soccer.
I think so. And so, yeah, she was having fun with that.
I can't attempt to see if that's me.
Oh, wow. All right, so you want to start out with some EPL news?
Absolutely.
Or do we want to start with MLS?
MLS. How does that sound?
All right, let's start out with some MLS. We are getting closer and closer to the playoffs, folks. Right now, we are sitting at everybody has a minimum of 29 games played. Most clubs are sitting with 30. Still, only two teams have cinched the playoffs, and that is the Western Conference leader and the second place in the Western Conference. So let's talk about the Eastern Conference. Let me run through the table, and then we'll talk about what's happening. First of all, we've got in first place DC United, 51 points. Second place, New England Revolution, 45 points. Third place, Sporting KC, and they have dropped. They've dropped down to third. Sporting KC has 45 points. Number four is Columbus Crew with 43 points. And bringing up the bottom of the playoff cutoff, at the bottom of at the cutoff for the playoffs, is the New York Red Bulls with 41 points. In the bottom half of the table, we've got Toronto FC with 40 points. In sixth, in seventh is Philadelphia Union with 38. Eighth, ninth, and tenth place are pretty well out of the running. You've got eighth with Houston Dynamo, 36 points. Ninth, Chicago Fire with 31 points. And number 10, Montreal Impact with 24 points. We're going to see a fight between Columbus, the Red Bulls, and Toronto. The Union, kind of iffy on if they're really going to be in the running to make a push in the last few games for a playoff spot. But I think it's going to come down to Columbus Red Bulls and Toronto, and I'm not sure who's not going to make it. It'll be the first time in a few years that the Red Bulls haven't, and it's going to be a first time in a while since DC has. So I believe if DC wins one more game, they cinch the playoffs.
Huh.
Because I know both Seattle and L.A. cinched the playoffs when they hit 54 points in the standings. So I think D.C. can cinch it this week. Still a little ways to go for New England, Sporting KC, and the rest. But I think our top three are going to stay D.C., New England, and KC. My prediction. All right, now moving on to my conference, the Western Conference. We have two teams have cinched a playoff berth, and that is number one, the Seattle Sounders at 57 points, and number two, the LA Galaxy with 57 points. Bringing up the rest of the playoff, potentially the potential playoff teams, we've got third place, Real Salt Lake with 49 points. SC Dallas, my lads, my boys, they are in fourth place with 48 points. And then we have fifth place, Vancouver Whitecaps with 40 points. Sixth place, Portland Timber with 39 points. Colorado Rapids with 32 points. Out of the running for playoffs, we've got eighth place, San Jose Earthquake. And the ninth place, Chivas USA. And they've got 24 points. Chivas has had a rough couple of years. And then the MLS bought the team from the previous owner. And they are looking for a new owner. And, yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know who I would like to see own a team?
David Beckham?
Oh, he's already getting one.
Donovan?
That was part of his MLS. That was part of it, of Beckham's MLS contract was the option to have an expansion team. And I don't. It's not going to be this next season, but I think the season after they will be. It'll be in Miami, and he will have an expansion team in Miami. But who else did you say?
Clint.
You broke up.
Clint Dempsey.
No, not well. That would be interesting, but he's retiring at the end of this season.
Can
Landon Donovan?
Ah. Didn't I see her?
I think that would be interesting.
A maid work?
I think it would be interesting if Landon put a bid in for Cheebus. I don't know if he would have the backing to do it like Becca does. But I would like to continue to see Landon. I don't see him going into a managerial role, but I would like to see him continue with soccer in some way, and maybe ownership is the way to go for him.
It is.
So, but an interesting announcement, well, then we'll talk about playoffs. An interesting announcement I heard is there is a possibility that Chivas will be suspended as a team for a season while they're looking for a buyer and rebranding the team. So we may not have Chivas USA in the Western Conference next year, and they will sit out a season and rebuild with a new brand, a new name, and potentially a new owner. Since there have been, I have heard nothing about any potential owners currently. So, I have mixed thoughts about that. That maybe it might be best for the club to take that year off to distance themselves from the name Chivas.
Yeah, because I think completely from that, just get it something. What area that they're playing in?
The what?
The area that they play, what state are they from?
Are you talking about the previous owner?
No, the actual club itself. Where is it?
Chivas is in Los Angeles. They share the Hub Sub Center with the LA Galaxy.
Ah. It's not
so
unusual.
I would like to see them today where they're at. Yeah, I would like to see them stay where they're at. But I think, though, because of the issues with the previous owner and his, which I don't remember what all was, I don't remember what all was wrong with him, because it's been a few days since we talked about that. But I just remember that there were a lot of issues with the previous owner and the fact that he was, I think there was some racism, but don't quote me on that because I'm not exactly sure, but I know that there was a lot of, he caught a lot of flack because of his views, and they didn't feel like that it was aligned with the MLS values, and so MLS bought him out so that he would no longer own an MLS team. But they left the name Chivas USA. It was almost time for the season to start. You know, they've already put out the kit. They've already put out the kits and all of that. So, and they also may be taking a year off so that when they rebrand, they can get a new sponsor. I'm not sure who their jersey sponsor was. That tells you how much I remember anything about Chivas. They're just an unremarkable team right now, other than all of this behind-the-scenes stuff going on with them. But taking that year to develop a new name, a new brand, and completely separate themselves from the name Chivas might be the best thing. But then at the same time, how many professional sports teams do you know that when they take a hiatus, actually come back?
Well, Rangers.
But did they take a hiatus? Did they actually take time off?
They were four. Yeah.
So there were some seasons they did not play at all.
Yep, it was one season they did not play, and they got demoted.
Well, I'll say this about Rangers, though. How long has the club been in existence?
Since 1888.
All right. So, you're talking a long history.
Mm-hmm.
So, them taking a year off and coming back is not so unremarkable, okay? But, you know, we look at how long the MLS has been around. And, you know, in comparison to a lot of the European clubs, we're young teams. How many young teams do you see take a one-year hiatus and actually can make it back?
Not many.
Not many. So there's a two-pronged thinking here. Take a year off, separate from the name, rebrand it, get a new owner. But then you got to look at it, what's the likelihood they're going to make it back? And you have to weigh pros and the cons of both and figure out which one is better. And personally, I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're looking the right ball,
yeah, that's going to be going to be a tough decision, and I don't envy those having to make that decision because, you know, it's potentially killing a club within the MLS, which is not good for the MLS.
Who would replace them?
But, you know, who's to say they couldn't come back as a NASL team or a USL Pro team and then work back into and become a quote-unquote expansion team for the MLS. That is a possibility, but if they don't come back as an MLS team.
Could they not be part of LA Galaxy / feeder team?
Oh, they are. LA already has a feeder team. They have LA Galaxy 2. So that boat has already sailed. And so it's going to be interesting to see over the course of the MLS break between their seasons. It's going to be interesting to see what happens between now and the start of next season with Chivas USA. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we will let you all know what's going to happen. So, all right, let's talk playoffs. Again, well, I've already said that Seattle and L.A. have cinched their playoffs, and now we're looking at Real Salt Lake, FC Dallas, and Vancouver, bring in the top five, the finish up the top five teams. Portland and Colorado Rapids are knocking on the door. Colorado Rapids is an outside champ. They're at 32 points. And there's maybe three to four games left, I think. Because I go see FC Dallas play. I go see FC Dallas play on the 25th, and I know that is their last home game. So, I think this is week, I'm looking here, this is week 32, so there's three more weeks after this week. So, let's look here real quick, and playing this week, you've got Philadelphia and Chicago, DC and Sporting KC, Red Bulls and the Houston Dynamo, the Whitecaps, that's Vancouver, versus FC Dallas, that is the 4th, that's this Saturday. I believe that that is an away game for Dallas. And we've got the Revolution at Columbus, Galaxy at Toronto, San Jose and Portland, Colorado Rapids and the Sounders, that's the Seattle team, Chicago and Montreal, and then Chivas and Real Salt Lake. That will end week 32. Week 33, so you're looking at four to five games, depending on how many games are left to play. So I think it's going to be a fight for fourth and fifth, and I think it's going to come down to, I think the Rapids, they're sitting at 30 games. They probably only have four games left. They would have to win. Vancouver and Dallas would have to lose pretty much all their games for Colorado to upset them. I don't think they could upset Dallas.
No, I don't.
Dallas is sitting with 48 points, fourth place. I doubt they can upset. I doubt Colorado could upset Dallas. But Vancouver and Portland are going to be fighting it out. I mean, they're sitting at one point, both 30 games. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks with Vancouver and Portland. So that is your MLS standings for week 32. All right, so you ready for the EPL?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm very disappointed in this. Still sitting at the top of the table. And by the way, everybody has six games played. Chelsea is still sitting at the top of the table. Can you believe that?
You know why? They just parked the bus in front of the defender.
They actually have a really good record. They have not lost. They've had five wins and a draw. So they have not lost out of their six games. They are the only... Well, let's see here. One, two... There are only two other teams. There are only two teams in the league who have not netted a loss yet. And that's them and Arsenal. Arsenal is sitting with two wins and four draws. But neither of those teams have dropped a game yet.
Oh, but they face each other this weekend.
They face each other, so somebody, unless they both draw, somebody's coming out with a loss. And we all know who I want that to be. All right, so we got Chelsea in first with 16 points. Surprisingly, Southampton.
We said
second place.
They surprised us. They were staying up the top six. Yes. Might not do good.
They are
season.
Doing very well. I mean, Southampton has done very well the opening round. 4-1-1 is their record. Four wins, one draw, one loss. And they're sitting at 13 points. Third place, Manchester City, with 11 points. Fourth place is Arsenal with 10. And here's another surprise, Swansea City. They are sitting in fifth place with 10 points.
They've not had
they
the best
have,
of records.
They have a 3-1-2 record, but they're sitting with 10 points. And in fifth place, I'm very impressed with Southampton and Swansea City's opening game. Very impressed.
But they haven't won their last three. They've had two losses in the
draw. Okay, but as I said, though they've started out very strong, and considering they're another team that usually rides the bottom of the table. Very, very good opening six games.
Plus, it's only six games in. Wait till it gets up to 10 or 20.
But like I said, impressive start. All right, that's fifth place. Sixth place is Aston Villa, 10 points. Our guys, they're back up. Seventh place, Manchester United. They're back up. They were in 11th place last week. And they're back up to seventh. So they've got 8 points. They're sitting with a 2-2-2 record. So they're starting to click.
Especially
that's starting to come together for them.
Yep, that new.
Now if we can just get Rooney back on the pitch, we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yep.
All right, in eighth place, Tottenham, 8 points. Ninth place, Crystal Palace, 8 points. West Brom, Stoke City, Leicester, whatever their name is, LC, all are sitting with 8 points. So we've got Manchester City, Manchester United at seventh, Tottenham in eighth, Crystal Palace in ninth, West Brom in tenth, Stoke City in 11th, and Leicester at 12th, all with 8 points. A lot of them riding the 8 points. Riding at 8 points. And remember that the first tiebreaker for the EPL is goal difference. Mm-hmm. All right, so next we have, and this is surprising me who's in 13th, but in 12th we have West Ham United with 7 points. In 13th place, Liverpool. Surprise there. You know, Liverpool's usually top of the table. And here they are in 13th place with 7 points. All right, next we've got Everton, which really doesn't surprise me, Everton being in the bottom of the table. They tend to start slow and build up. Last year they did start better, but they have not had as good of a start this season. They're in 14th with 6 points. My Cinderella team is in 15th, that's Hull City with 6 points. And then 16th, hold on. Hull City is 16th. Sunderland is in 17th. And they have 5 points in relegation. You've got Queen's Park Rangers with 4 points in 18th place. 19th is Newcastle United with 3. And 20th is Burnley with 3. And here's how they move from their last game played this game to this report right here. The top 10 did not move. Now, from last week, I know Manchester United moved up from 11th to 7th place, but from the last game to today, the top 10 did not move. Stoke City moved up from 17th. Leicester LC fell from 11th to 12th. West Ham fell from 12th to 13th. Liverpool fell from 13th to 14th. Everton fell. All the rest fell. One spot. West Ham fell from 14th, fall from 15th, and Sunderland from 16th. The bottom three have remain the same. So there is your table for right now.
Yeah.
But kudos to Southampton, Swansea City, and Crystal Palace. They've made a good showing for the first 6 games, and it's nice to see some of these teams that really struggle get that little bit of a boost.
I can say they were so high in the table at one point.
Exactly right. Sometimes you just have to, it's those little accomplishments that you have to focus on. You know, let's look at the small goal. Let's not look at 20 years down the road goal.
Mm.
20 years down the road goal. Let's look at tomorrow's goal. And let's focus on those kind of things. So that there is your EPL table. All right. Do you have anything for us today?
We like being managerial role, but I've found this little, call it a bit of a graph, a bit of an illustration. History of football tactics, 1863 to 2014, and all the best formations used by the most successful teams, including internationals. It's even got into it. It shows exactly what type of way they played. So I'll put that, if I get the right link, because there we go.
All right, that'll be interesting to look at.
That is actually pretty cool. It shows
one of my.
Boy, that is
small. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can click on
it. Yeah, I had to blow that. I had to blow that booger up. That was kind of. Well, small. Interesting. Let me see here.
What is the total football one? And that was used by the Dutch. Before that, in the Dutch youth team, they'd make sure everyone was in any position. And then they played total football, just constantly passing. They played one championship. As soon as they scored, no, it was the Italians, in fact. All they'd done was just pass along the back four, then run out. They had the goal. Why not? Why not be the most...
Wow, now this is a freaking super... aggressive formation. I'm kind of shocked to see this in here. A 2-3-5.
2-3-5. Where are we? 2-3-5.
The pyramid. I am sitting here going, we're going to smash you in the face and beat you within an inch of your life and laugh while we do it formation.
I think that's more of like against the wall, last 10, 15 minutes of a game. Just get everybody up there.
Oh, that is a different formation. I just kind of, that one kind of surprised me. A 2-3-5. Interesting. I mean, we play with my girls. We play a 3-6. A 3-6-2.
Really? 3-6-2.
Yeah, we play a 3-6-2. Wait, hold on. No.
A 3.
No. We're playing a 3-2-3. A 3-2-3-2.
All right, that makes more sense.
Yeah. We're playing, if you look in the diagrams, we're playing the MM diagram.
MM.
Oh. A 3-2-3-2. That's what we've been playing so far this season. Or we'll play a 3-3-3-1.
You know the one? That must be very... confusing.
Which one?
The one next to it. The 3-2.
The diagonal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is... That's a whole different... Yeah, I wouldn't even know... I would not even know how to begin to coach that.
How you'd coach it. You say, hey, lads, come for a game of football over the formation. You can't. No structure, it's just... ball around. You're a striker? No, I'm a defender. I don't know.
Well, not today. You're whatever. Yeah. Now, the 1-4-4-1 is interesting.
Ah, the one that incorporates a sweeper set.
Yeah. That's now you have to have an extremely dedicated and can hold their position well midfield.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a midfield that can't hold their shape, you can't run that.
Midfield's going to be key.
Now talk
also
about that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that they're crucial as well because the core will hold it, but if they backs, they just run up and down those flanks all day. Get it straight into that striker, and the midfield can pick off any of those. Get it back in there.
Yeah.
That's from a game.
Now the total football.
Yeah, the Dutch one.
That is an interesting one.
I think you might be get it blown up on a big with the sort of stick under your arm and saying, right, this is just in past.
No, we played something similar. We played, except for we played a 2-3-3-3. No, there was a 2-3-3-2.
All right, kind of like the.
We played with basically sweeping fullbacks. Yeah, we basically played with two sweeping fullbacks, and then ran a six-person midfield and two strikers. And the most common is the 4-4-2.
Yep.
That is one of the most common run
formation
is the 4-4-2.
Do you know what the most second common one is?
I have to clarify for anybody that's listening that do not understand, because I have to remember we do have some people who listen who aren't very soccer knowledgeable. When we talk formation, a formation is always described starting with your defensive, with your fullback. You describe your fullback, your defensive mid, your attacking mid, and your strikers. You do not include your goalie when you talk about formations. So when we say it's a 4-4-2, we're saying there's four fullbacks, and in this case, in a 4-4-2, you're really playing just four midfielders.
Yep.
They're playing attacking, and they're all four are playing attacking and defensive mid, and then two strikers.
Yep.
So when I talked about the pyramid, I talked about a 2-3-5. That's two fullbacks, three midfielders playing both sides, attacking and defensive mid, and then five strikers. That's why I say that's an in-your-face. We are taking you to school and going to stomp the snot out of you.
Yeah.
Formation. That is what that. That is, we don't plan on our goalkeeper having to do anything formation.
Unless we give them.
So.
They can just watch, climb on top of the post and just.
Yeah, I mean, that's a keeper sits back and does nothing formation. That's we're going to be in your face, pounding on you the entire time.
The time the goalkeeper can do it to do his taxes. Just rate it out. Yeah.
That's when your goalie sits down at the top of the box.
Yeah.
So, we played a team, bless their hearts. Oh, my word. We played a team that the first time we played them twice that season. Now, little background before I talk about the team itself. My husband and I have this work, you know, we can tell how a game's going to go by how the other team warms up. So we would sit there, we'd watch them warm up for a few minutes, and we would look at each other, and we would predict the score based on the warm-ups. We got pretty good at it. I will tell you, we got pretty good at predicting the score based on how the other team was warming up.
You know, you can add to your soccer resume now. You're now a scout, coach, all that stuff. You can just put scout at some.
Well, if I could scout the other teams, I would do it. I really would. But that's just not a possibility. But anyway, in the warm up, so this little team shows up at our field. Now, our girls are there an hour before the game to start warm ups. Okay, they start rolling in about 30 minutes before the game, and I kid you not, Hugh, for all of the world, it looked like that coach was running practice.
Well, like a football session.
Like he was running. It wasn't like he was warming them up for a game. No, it looked like he was holding a practice. He was teaching them how to pass during warm-up.
You don't teach them in a warm-up. You reiterate them.
No. He was not reiterating. He was not reminding. He was coaching them on how... He was teaching them how to pass. I kid you not.
So, pulled out of bed, picked up a soccer for dummies, and just grabbed some... Took them to a park to play football.
Almost. I mean, they would have been better off. Listen, I didn't know anything about coaching, man. I could have coached better than that. But I will tell you, I absolutely have the most respect for this group of girls, because this group of girls had more heart than any group of girls we've ever played. They had more heart than anybody. But anyway, so we're watching for, you know, the hubby and I were sitting there, Jeff and I are looking and watching these girls warm up, and he turns to me and he says, "This is going to be a 20-0 game." He wasn't too far off. It was 16-0. We beat them. Bless their hearts. We beat these girls 16-0. And it was even, I mean, when we got up about 5 goals, they started taking the offensive players and moving them into the defense and putting our defensive player in the offense. We eventually ended up with nothing but defensive players out on the field, except for the goalie, who the goalie also played offense. Larissa played goalie the first half. I think she touched the ball once.
Was that a goal kick?
Once. I don't even remember what it was, but I think she touched the ball one time. It rolled into the backfield, and she let it roll into the box so she could pick it up and punt it. And she was hollering at them, "Mine, mine, mine." I think she touched the ball one time. I kid you not, she comes out in between the penalty arc and the circle and sat down on the field.
No, that could be
professional conduct. She got hollered at over that one. She
got hollered at over that one, let me tell you. She got, let her coach and I both, Jeff was getting up. He was about to head out there, I thought. But yeah, she didn't sit down again. But that's how little she had to do. These, bless their hearts, these girls could not do anything with the ball. And now, Larissa played goalie the first half. He put her in the second half. I think she played the entire game. The second half, he moves her up to forward. Normally, she plays right. She plays left fullback at this time. She was playing left fullback normally, and he moves her up to forward. Our girls, every one of them but the goalie, were lining up around the center circle like Olympic track stars ready for the 40-meter dash.
Picture
10 girls around the center circle, almost in a sprinter stance, ready to go at this moment. Can you imagine how scared those other girls had to feel? I mean, it was just crazy. And one of the kickoffs, they touched the ball. Larissa takes off. I swear, it's the fastest I've ever seen that child move. She takes the ball before they can touch it a second time and dribbles through their entire team and scores unassisted. Not a single one of her teammates moved.
By that point,
we're,
I'd be shouting with the opposition coach at this point for just a bit of frustration.
Well, I mean, it was just crazy. It was just insanely crazy. And I mean, I love my daughter dearly, okay? My daughter was never built for speed. She is built like her mama. And that ain't for speed, let me tell you. She is not going to ever be the fastest one out there. She knows it. We know it. It's an accepted fact. She's like her mama. So when she took off like a sprinter for that ball and then went through their dribbled past everybody and scored under, we were all sitting there slack-jawed. It was absolutely crazy, Hugh. But so we go in. So we're playing this little old team, and again, we beat them 16-0. A couple of weeks later, we played at their field, and we get out there, and well, their club was hurting the referee, and I ended up ARing the game.
Jeez.
When I saw they only had two, I went up to the center and I told them, I said, you know, I am certified. I'm a licensed. I'm an 09 ref. And if you'd like me to be the AR, I can do that. And so they said, you know, they called the club. The club said, sure. Now, technically, I wasn't supposed to act as the AR because I did not have my jersey and my badge.
Mm.
I shouldn't have been calling offsides or fouls, but I did call offsides. I had to help those girls somehow, didn't I? Not my girls. I'm talking about the other team's girls. You know, I mean, they needed something because, yeah, they needed something. So I ended up ARing this game. Now, in the first half of this game, We have one of our girls had never, all she'd ever played was defense. She played center fullback. Had never scored a goal, ever. 5 minutes into the game, she had a hat trick.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Right,
she had a hat trick by 5 minutes into the game. So, again, he starts swapping out and putting in all of our defensive players, moving our offensive players to back, rotating them out. So, and again, Larissa played goalie the first half. Second half, he puts her in as a forward. So, again, here we have our right fullback playing forward. And by the end of the game, almost by halftime, the only offensive player we had was our goalie. And he moved one of our girls that normally plays forward. He moved her, put her back in goal. And she doesn't play goalie often. She can, but she doesn't. And so he moved her back into goal. She nearly scored on a punt. The goalie sucked forward. She punted. It bounced and started over her head and nearly went in the goal. She's nearly... Casey nearly scored from a punt.
Mm.
So here again... And I teased Larissa. I told her I was going to call offsides on her every time she got in the offensive half of the field. Well, about 2 minutes into the first half, I called offsides on her. She was offsides. I mean, it was a legitimate. It wasn't just because I was said I was good. No, she was really offsides. But. Their team would line up for a goal kick, and Larissa would be on the edge of the penalty area. Again, like a track star ready to go for the races. And their team would be yelling, "Cover number nine! Cover number nine!" And it was all I could do not to just stand there on the sidelines just dying, laughing. I really wanted to holler, "You're wanting to cover our right, our left fullback."
Wait, but your left fullback's number nine?
Yes.
That's a striker's number.
When she played for... The last team that she played in for, she got a different number. And the coach gave everybody their numbers, and he gave her number nine. And she does play midfield. She plays attacking mid some. She mostly plays defensive mid. But, yeah, no, my daughter is not a forward. Now, if he puts her in as a forward, she will go out there and she will try her hardest and do her best as a forward. If she's needed to, but that's not her strong suit. I mean, she's better suited for as a defensive player.
All right.
But yeah, she's number nine. But yeah, they were freaking out about covering Larissa, number nine, our left fullback, and it was all I could do not to just bust up laughing. But we were up when we hit 10 points. When we were ahead of them by 10 points, the center referee went over to their coach and asked, "Coach, do you want to call the game with the mercy rule? They're up by 10 points."
Yeah.
And I give the coach props. He said, "No, I want my girls to play." Well, we only scored six more goals on. Or no, we only scored three more goals on them. We only beat them 13-0 the second time.
I think because the players were being nice.
But but he told the ref, no, I want my girls to keep playing. And those girls never stopped. They never quit. They never stopped. They had more heart than any team I have ever seen play. And I have so much respect for those girls that they never stopped trying. Even though, and excuse my language here, they were getting their asses handed to them. But they never quit trying. And that team, whenever my girls start getting down and getting deflated, and I tell them, do you remember that little team from Choctaw? Do you remember how they never quit? Even though they were getting just beat to pieces, they never quit. And those of them that were on the team at the time, they go, yeah. I said, that's the attitude I want to see from you out there on that field right now. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a quitter's attitude. I want to see somebody out there with the heart not to stop. And that's the pep talk I give. that team had more heart, but bless their heart, they sucked. They really did. And you know, it wouldn't have mattered what formation they ran. They just, I think they were a new team. If they had played before, they hadn't played very much, and they just came up across. They just came up against a team, been together, had been playing, and we just took it to them. No other way to describe it. We just took it to them.
I've known games like that when the Premier League team over here faces like a non-league team. The lines get so ridiculous, but it's fair. League teams actually give the Premier League teams a run for their money. Doesn't happen very often,
yeah.
But
well,
that's happened.
Well, you know, they call them the giant killers. For
that,
you know?
Yeah.
Who was it that made it into the FA Cup final last year?
Ooh, that's a...
No, it did come down to two EPL teams, but there was like a League One team that made it into the semifinals. If I'm not, or something like that. There was a lower level.
And I will tell you as soon as I.
I'm looking up the FA's. No, it was okay. It was Man City. And Arsenal made it into the final. And Man City lost. Yes. But it was... I'm trying to find...
Route to the thing.
But you know, it had, you know, I mean, there's been time, you know, you'll see somebody like Chelsea, or, you know, it's happened to Chelsea, it's happened to Man U, you know, they'll get knocked out by one of these little League One teams.
Wait.
They call them the giant killers.
Yeah. I need to figure out who they are. Millwall. They went against the Wigan in the final. One team.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
For some reason I can't even seem to pronounce that name. Millwall, that's it. They were faced Wigan before Wigan went into the final.
Okay, I'm not finding
I just put on the Wikipedia and found it.
Okay, well, what I was finding wasn't showing.
Great, I do have this little funny thing. I don't know if I've shown
okay.
it before, but I thought I was listening to it earlier because I'm subscribed. I still like listening to it.
All right, what is this? Amazing RVP last year was a joke. Winger says ASD will win the title in Liverpool's llama. I think that, have you shown this to me?
I'm not sure. I think I either did or...
You've shown this to me, yeah.
Yeah, that was
funny.
It was just funny. I was watching it today. I was like, oh, man, shaky.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, Hull City went up against Arsenal and beat them. That's the first time Hull City has ever made it to the FA Cup and they won. They beat Arsenal to go. They were in the semifinal. Wait, hold on. Hull City played Sheffield. So Sheffield United and Wigan came up all the way and, you know, beat out all of these teams to... And it was Arsenal versus Hull City, but Hull City did not win the final. Because I was so excited for Hull City to make it to the final. But yeah, Wigan and Sheffield, you know, I don't even remember what league they were in last season. See if I can find what league they were in. But anyway.
Yeah.
Wigan was a champion. They were in the championship.
Oh, yeah.
And Sheffield... Do you have a fan or something going behind you?
Behind me? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, Sheffield United was in League One.
Ah.
Last season. So here, now, for those of you who are not familiar with the English Football League, the top tier team of the English Premier League, the Premiership, then it goes to the Championship, then it's League One, League One and then League Two, right?
Mm-hmm. Then the conference.
Is that right? League One and then
yep.
League Two?
Yep.
And then the conference. And the conference is your amateur player. What are considered your amateur. So
that's semi-amateur. Below that is non-league amateur.
Okay.
All right, so semi-pro. Mm-hmm. Conference is your semi-pro. So they were two levels below Premiership, Sheffield. They were in League One. So it's Premier Championship and then League One. And they beat out all of those. And see, now, in the FA Cup, the Premiership team get a bye into, like, the third round.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they because they want to give all these little teams, but this, they came out and beat all of these teams, and they took out some EPL teams to make it to the semifinals. So Sheffield United was real. They were a giant killer last year. So, all right, enough of the FA Cup. So, you want to hear something funny?
Absolutely.
A man in Providence, this is out of Providence, Rhode Island, a U.S. man is suing Cristiano Ronaldo over the phrase CR7.
I don't get it.
There's the leak. Yeah, a man is suing the phrase over the phrase CR7. Which Ronaldo uses it to stand for Cristiano Ronaldo number 7. It's his initial and jersey number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Christopher Renzi filed a lawsuit on Monday. Now, this was posted back in July. This was the end of July. In the U.S. District Court against the Star and a Danish company, JBS Textile Group, the firm sells underwear with the phrase CR7, a combination of Ronaldo's initial and jersey number. Renzi's lawyer said on Thursday that his client was prompted to file the lawsuit against one of the world's most famous athletes after JBS Textile lawyers threatened his client with aggressive action and petitioned to cancel his trademark. The other side says he is trying to trade on Ronaldo's fame, and there's really nothing to that, lawyer Michael Foldhone said. I knew who Ronaldo was. And I didn't think of CR7 as some kind of famous trademark. Renzi applied to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for the trademark in 2008, and it was granted in 2009. His lawyer says Renzi uses CR7, a combination of Renzi's initial and the day he was born, October 7th, on clothing and for a 7-minute exercise program. The textile company's lawyer said the European textile company offered Renzi money to stop using the trademark. He wouldn't say how much, but said it was very small. JBS textile lawyer would not comment. Oh, Feldhelm is... Just a second. Yeah, Feldhelm is the... Hold on, who is he?
I'm kind of lost now.
Oh, yeah, I kind of lost what you... But anyway, the JBS textile lawyer would not comment. Oh, their lawyer is Eric Fingerhut.
That's Feldhelm a weird name.
Feldhelm is Renz. The lawsuit asked the court to declare that Renzi is not infringing any trademark owned by Ronaldo or JBS. JBS Textiles sells CR7 underwear and socks for men and boys in Europe. According to a letter sent to Renzi from the company's lawyer, it plans to start selling in the U.S. soon. So he trademarked CR7, and he uses it on clothing.
Mm.
And it's his initials in the day he was born.
Right.
And a 7-minute exercise program. But when JBS Textiles started looking at selling in the U.S., they saw that trademark. They requested that he stop using the trademark and offered him a sum, and he would not accept it, so he filed a lawsuit. And I do not know if there's been any follow-up. Let me look here real quick.
Yeah, I'm pretty confused about
At what?
Oh, no, I get it. Oh, I get it now. So confused.
All right, I'm not seeing any updated stories since August 1st. And the lawsuit was filed like July 31st or July 30th. So, there hasn't been any update yet. But yeah, the legal system is fairly slow. So, yeah, he's being sued. They're being sued over the CR7. Okay, now remember the team that had the third division, the Spanish third division team that had the tuxedo uniform?
Yes.
They actually wore it. They wore their tuxedo uniform for a charity match. And it says on July 31st, it was announced they finally got a chance to see the high-class gear in action, and it's every bit the fashion statement we were hoping for. And then there's a picture of a couple of the guys in their kits. And it says, check out some of the video highlights of the Penguin suits in action, especially the goalie's stylish and sharp white tux. And it says, the team wore the uniform as part of a charity match to benefit the local mining industry and celebrate the club's 90th year. Although someone must have forgotten to tell the competition that it was a black tie affair. So there's a little video there. It's about 30 seconds. Of the team in their tuxedo kit. I will say that's actually kind of sharp looking. I don't know if it helps them play any better, but yeah, it's kind of sharp. So that was funny.
I would wear it.
I think it's pretty funny. So, now what else do we have? We've got about 12 minutes of the show left.
Just found something real. Hopefully I can big enough. Hopefully that link works. I'm not. Please tell me it works. Did it work? Hello? Don't tell me. Escape hatching. What the? Escape hatching. Oh, I see. Definitely happened. Oh. All right. Well,
we wait till she gets back. I'm going to figure out.
Last little thing didn't work, and I probably know why. Right from that, hopefully that'll make it right.
Sorry about that. All of a sudden, I wasn't using Skype to call in. I've been using a different way to call in. And I for the first time, it ever gave me problems. So sorry about that.
All right. Okay. Problem was my fontage was, and I don't like this new, I copy a picture from Facebook. It gives you a super thing.
It's not letting me open the picture. It says they're sorry something went wrong. Anytime I try to.
Bothersome. Let me think. Try it this way then. Since we're still gone, hopefully that's it.
Oh, the kids, all of the guys as little kids. Look at Rainy. He hasn't changed much.
Maybe the hairline has.
That's about it. He was already starting to lose his hair then.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Lampard. What a cutie.
So proper. What was I?
Neymar was a cutie.
Who killed me for this next one?
Why did they have to include Suarez?
They start biting stuff. Or maybe that was when he's teething it. I don't know.
No, it looks like he has all of his teeth. Gerard Boyle, he was serious. Van Persie, he's cute then, too. They're missing somebody. They're missing my favorite.
Howard?
Yes!
Wow.
Yeah, they're missing.
Those are all outfielders, that's why.
Missing Howard. Missing my Tim Howard. Yeah, something wrong with that, folks. That's cute. Yeah, there's no Messi either. Oh, no, there's Messi. He's all dressed up, too. But yeah, Rooney, I tell you, Rooney has not changed. That's funny. That's neat.
The next one you might not like.
Okay.
But the one after you definitely will win.
Alright, let's look at this. An error occurred. Oh no.
An error occurred? What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is annoying. This won't work. Oh, God.
Nope. You're having issues there.
I think Facebook is having issues.
Well, we've only got about 6 minutes left. Here's just a kind of a funny. Here's a funny one for you. Oh, this is actually kind of a sad commentary. Zeltan settled a dispute between the teammates because he's Zeltan. When Terrence Boyd received the coveted kit of Zlatan Ibrahimovic a couple of weeks ago, now this was back in August, no one heard about the dramatic aftermath because Zlatan stepped in and fixed the situation before it could get worse. Apparently, Boyd's teammate and RB Leipzig captain Daniel Freyen has asked for Zeltan's kit as he was subbed off, but Zeltan denied him. Sorry, but I have promised this to young man, Boyd. and then it shows a picture of him giving the jersey and exchanging pleasantries. Zoltan Ibrahimovic gives his kit to Terrence Ford as Daniel Fron looks on in disbelief. That didn't sit well with the club captain. He said it was disrespectful of Boyd as a new player at a club, and that the last thing Boyd would want was to upset the captain. As the young striker was apologizing in the locker room to Fron, the mighty Zoltan walked in and immediately settled the dispute. He said, "I had a second dry jersey with me," he said. "The captain can have this one. We have a feeling Boyd idolizes Zoltan even more than he did before, if only because he saved his skin on his debut with the club. As always, all hell Zoltan." This was when the what club does he play for? Can't think of
Florentina, AC Milan.
Yeah, I can't remember, but they were playing the Red Bulls this summer. It may be Milan. But they were playing the Red Bulls this summer, you know, in the ICC, while they were over here doing their friendlies in the ICC tournament. And so Zoltan Ibrahimovic was impressed with Boyd's play. And so as he was leaving the field, he gave him his game jersey.
Oh, he played for Pat.
Place for who? You broke up.
Saint-Germain, PSG.
Ah, PSG. Pierre Saint-Germain?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. but anyway, PSG. So he plays for PSG. And he gave Boyd, because he was impressed with the young man while he was playing. And so they, but then the team captain got butthurt and threw a hissy fit. I mean, okay, really? You're going to throw a hissy fit over that? Just, you got to play with the dude. Be happy.
Yeah.
So.
You should be encouraging your own team.
That's exactly right. You should be encouraging. Yeah, so anyway. All right, with that, we've got 2 minutes left of the show. Hugh, you have any last minutes?
Yeah. I was playing a couple of days ago. I'm unfit. I should realize my leg is an absolute... I'm going to play some more.
Okay, you had a broken back or cracked vertebrae.
Yeah.
And then it was winter, and yeah, you haven't played in how long?
Maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't really surprise me that you were not fit. So now it's time to get out there and start training before the weather gets too bad.
Yeah, but I don't need to run around so much.
So. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember, it is the beautiful game. Go out, experience it. Go out, watch a little kids play. Go watch a professional game. It's the beautiful game, and go enjoy it and spend some time watching, being part of, cheering on the little kids. Go out, find a U5 game. You can't get much more fun than that.
Exactly.
I'm going to be out with my U5 this evening, and then we've got team pitchers on Saturday. So it's going to be, you know, my beautiful game experience is going to be a lot of fun. So just remember, take part in the beautiful game, and we'll see you next week. We are in the stoppage time. And I am not going to be doing much because I have a splitting headache. And I have soccer. I have to leave for soccer practice in an hour.
Jeez.
It's been It's been one of those weeks. It's been one of those weeks. Yes. I haven't been sleeping much, so yeah. No.
I've been dull. I've not done anything. I've been
I've done way too much. With that, I am going to go ahead and call it a show for today. We will be, those of you listening in to the replay, we're going to be back next week. Same,
yeah.
Same station, different link. Watch for the link on Facebook and the radio station page and all those great places. And with that, we are out of here. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.